This week's Parsha is Parshas Emor, and since Parshas Emor always falls in the middle of Sfiras Omer, the counting of the Omer, we will start discussing that concept, which is found in chapter 23, Pasuk number 10. There it says, Daber Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, Vomar to Aleihem, and say to them, Kisavoyu al Oretz Asheri Nois Elohem, when you will come to the land that I will give you, Uketzartem es ketzira, you should reap its harvest, veveisem es oimer, reishis ketzirchem el hakoyen. You should bring a omer of the first of your harvest to the kohen. Meaning that the Jewish people are supposed to bring the first harvest, the first time they do cutting of barley, they have to bring it to the kohen. And what is the kohen going to do with it? The kohen is going to lift or wave the omer in front of Hashem lirtzoichem as an appeasement to you. Mimocharas Shabbos, on the morrow of Shabbos, the day after Shabbos, this Shabbos is referring to the Pesach. In other words, the day after the first day of Pesach, which is the 16th day of Nisan. Yenifenu Hakohen, the kohen should wave it. Rashi explains what is Omer. Rashi says the Omer is a series of Eifa, a tenth of Eifa. And Rashi says, Kach Hoyoshma, the name of the measurement of a tenth of an Eifa is called Omer, as it's written on chapter 16, Pasuk 18, where we're talking about the man. There it's written, Vaya Moidu Ba Omer, and they measured in the Omer. And it was found that everybody had the same, that the person who gathered more had one omer of man, and the person who gathered less had the same omer. And afterwards, on chapter 16, Pasuk number 36 of the book of Shemos, there it's mentioned that the omer is a tenth of an eifa. The fact that you have to bring the omer specifically on Pesach is written in the Gemara, the reason. And the Gemara is in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Omed Aleph. First, the Mishnah says, Babo Prokim Oilom Nidon, that the world is judged in four times, BePesach Alatvua, on Pesach it's judged on grains, BaTzeres, on Shavuos, it's judged on Peros Oilon, on the fruits of the tree. But Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says, paraphrasing, man is judged on Rosh Hashanah, the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Uvechag and Sukkos nidonim al ha-moim, we are judged on water. Meaning we are judged how much rain is going to fall this year. The Gemara there brings down, Tanya we learned Tabaraisa. Omar Rav Yudah Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yudah said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Mipneima Omro Torah Hevi Omer BePesach, why did the Torah specify for you to bring the Omer in Pesach? So the Gemara answers, because Pesach is a time when the judgment of the produce is going to be. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tells him, Haviu lefonai Omer v'Pesach, bring me Omer in Pesach, kidei shetizborech lochem tvuah shebesada, so the produce in the field will be blessed for you. In other words, since it's a propitious time for us to harvest our grains, so by us bringing our first grains to Hashem, then Hashem will show favor for us and He'll give us a good judgment, meaning that He will bless the grains of our field. I wanted to say that there is another reason why specifically Hashem told us to bring the Omer Pesach time, and I wanted to say that maybe that is what Rashi is trying to allude to. Rashi explains that the Omer is a measurement, and Rashi says that this measurement is the same measurement as the man. The Gemara in Chagiga 12b brings down that there is seven levels of Rokia, or firmament, or heavens, and they are Vilon, which is translated as curtain normally, Rokia, which is translated as firmament, Shchokim, which is grinders, Me'on, abode, Me'on, house, Arvus, which is plains, or sweetness. So these are seven heavens that they have. And the Gemara explains each purpose for each heaven. And the Gemara says that Shchokim is literally grinders. שבויר חיים עומדוס, that Hashem there has a meal,
ותוכנוס מון לצדיקים, and it's grinding man to the righteous people. The Marsha explains that the reading should be, ותוכנוס מון לצדיקים לעוסיד לבוי, that Hashem is there grinding man for the righteous people in the future when Moshiach will come. In other words, that heaven has a mill, and that's where the factory of man is, but that is only going to be for the tzaddikim, the righteous people in the world to come. We see from this Gemara that there is actually a place in heaven, or even a separate heaven, that its sole purpose is to make man for the tzaddikim, for the righteous people in the future, after our redemption. So according to this, we could say that Hashem is telling us to bring exactly a omer of grains after Pesach, in the same way as the Gemara says that we are supposed to bring grains for Hashem as a sacrifice in a time where there is already grains in the field. Like that, Hashem will bless for you the grains of the field. The same idea the Gemara brings down, that on Nisan, the time of Pesach is also a time of redemption. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Alef Amud Alef, brings down, Ben Nisan Nigalu, that in Nisan we were redeemed. In other words, our redemption from Egypt happened in Nisan. Ben Nisan Asidin Ligal, that our redemption again, Moshiach will come, he will come on Nisan. Then could be that us bringing the Omer is to remind Hashem that we are ready again to have the manna. In the same way that this is a propitious time to bring grains and Hashem will bless the grains, we are hinting to Hashem that specifically on Nisan and specifically on Pesach, which we'll say, explain soon what happened Pesach, that we are in a level that we should be able maybe to get manna again. So we are saying to Hashem that in that level we want to bring a Omer, we want to have our manna again that was given to us in the desert, we want to be meritorious to have that coming again for us, because this is a propitious time for manna, and that's why we require to bring exactly Omer, exactly the same measurement of the manna, alluding to Hashem that we are waiting and ready for our redemption. Sefer Share Simcha brings a contradiction in the Pasuk. First, the Pasuk says, Kisavoya al Oretz asher noisen lochem, when you're coming to the land that I give you, uketzartem es ketzira, you should reap its harvest. In other words, should cut its cutting, but it doesn't say that this is going to be your cutting, is going to be your field. And then the pasuk continues, veheveisem es oimer reishis ketzirchem al koyen, you should bring a omer of the first of your cutting to the koyen, which means that the field is now going to be yours and it's going to be your cutting. So he says, how come before the pasuk doesn't say uketzartem es ketzirchem, you should do your cutting, and when you bring the omer it's written that the cutting is going to be yours? And then he asks another question, which is from the Medrash Rabba on this pasuk. The Medrash Rabba Parsha Kof Ches Aleph brings on this pasuk, Daber Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, Veveisem es Oimer, Reishis Ketzircham al HaKoyen, and you should bring your first cutting to the Koyen. The Medrash says, Hadau Dichsif, that this is the meaning of the Pasuk, on Keheles Aleph, Ecclesiastics 1, Pasuk number 3, Ma Yisrael LeAdam, what prophet is a person going to have, Bechol HaMoloi, if all his labor, Shayamoil, that he is going to labor tachas ha-shomesh, under the sun. The Medrash continues, Omar Rav Yudon says, tachas ha-shomesh eloi, that under the sun he doesn't have any prophet. But lemalo min ha-shomesh, but above the sun, yeshloi, then he's going to have. This Medrash is a perplexing Medrash, and we don't understand what connection does it have one to the other. The Sefer Share Simcha wants to answer this Medrash with a famous story in Yerushalmi, Masechta Speya, Perik Aleph, Daf Tezvov. There the Gemara says that Mumbaz Amelach, Mumbaz the king, there is an argument who he really was. One opinion says that he was a non-Jew who converted to Judaism, and the other opinion says that he was one of the Hashmonaim kings, a child of Hilni Amalka, of Hilni the queen, and he was a righteous king. The Gemara says that Mumbaz decided to give away all his wealth to the poor. So his relatives got upset and they said, your parents, they added to the treasure, and they also added to the treasure that they received from their parents. And you, not enough that you wasted your treasure by giving to the poor, you also wasted your parents' treasure. You took away all the king's treasures and previous king's treasures, and you gave away to the poor. So Mumbaz answered that my parents made a mistake. They hid on earth. They put their treasures on earth, but I put my treasures in heaven. Meaning that I'm making mitzvahs. By giving to the poor, I make mitzvahs. And through those mitzvahs, my treasure is protected in heaven. Further, he says that my parents invested in treasures that don't bear any interest. They don't make any fruits. But me, I invested in treasures that bear a lot of fruits. Meaning that when you help a poor person sustain himself, you give him food, you give him money for housing, you give him money for him to live a more relaxed life, and because he's more relaxed, he's able to perform mitzvahs with more kavana in a higher spiritual way, then besides the mitzvah of sustaining the poor, of giving tzedakah, you actually get a portion of the mitzvah that this poor person is doing because you helped them improve and enhance that mitzvah. Furthermore, another example. If you give money to somebody who his business is not going well, you give him a gemilut chesed. You give him a loan, and that loan, even when it's repaid, you made the mitzvah the highest level of tzedakah. But your job is not finished yet. Now, because you allowed this person to get back on his feet, this person is now making money and he is also giving charity to other people. Then not only do you get your original reward for helping this person get on his feet, but every time this person gives away tzedakah, is able to do other mitzvahs because he's back on his feet, you get a portion of that mitzvah. You get a percentage of that mitzvah. Exactly what percentage that is, Hashem knows. Hashem is the only one that knows exactly how your charity affected this person. But nonetheless, you get residuals from the mitzvah that you did throughout your life. And even after your life, you keep getting interest, you keep getting fruit on what you did through eternity. Judaism is like a multi-level marketing that when I have a person underneath me, I get residuals. When this person underneath that person does something, then you get still residuals. And it continues without a limit. Another example, which doesn't have to do with money. You teach somebody about a mitzvah. You explain them how to perform, and because you explain them how to perform, that person decides that he's going to make the mitzvah now. So you get two rewards. Once you get a reward for teaching the other person how to make a mitzvah, which by itself is a mitzvah, and then if the person performs the mitzvah, you get a portion of his mitzvah, because without you, that person would not know how to perform this mitzvah. Now, let's say the person you taught how to make this mitzvah teaches somebody else how to make the mitzvah, then you get a portion of the mitzvah that the third person did. Because if not for you, the person next to you would not know the mitzvah and you wouldn't be able to teach. Now that you taught him and he taught somebody else, you get reward every time the third person performs the mitzvah, and so forth. If the third person teaches other people, you get residual reward for teaching that mitzvah. And that's what Mumbaz said, that my parents did, but they didn't get any interest because their money is just in the treasury. But me, for me, making charity with this money, I'm always making fruits. I'm getting interest all the time. And then he continued, my parents put in a place where people could destroy it. In other words, they could put in a bank or in the treasury, but somebody could come and conquer the treasure, and you're gone, your treasure is gone. But I invested, I put away in a place where nobody could take away, because once you may perform the mitzvah of tzedakah, of charity, that mitzvah is yours forever. Even if you go bankrupt after that, and you don't have any more money, but that mitzvah is yours to stay, regardless what happens. And then he continued, my parents gathered money, and I gathered soul, because if you save another Jew, you help another Jew stand alive, then you basically are making his soul, so you gain his soul. My parents gathered for others, because my parents died and this treasure is just for others to use, but I gathered for myself, because that mitzvah that I made, that mitzvah is going to stay for myself forever. And then he continued, my parents gathered in this world, and I gathered in the world to come. Sefer Shara Simcha is trying to say that you see from here that only mitzvahs that you actually do with your money, with your wealth, that is what's considered yours. That while the money is here, that money is technically not yours, because that money could be gone any minute that Hashem wants. But if you perform a mitzvah with that, that is considered your mitzvah. And Sefer Shara Simcha continues and it says that with that we could have a different interpretation on the Pasuk, on Parshas Vayetze, chapter 28, Pasuk 22, where Hashem had promised Yaakov that he's going to be with him, he's going to give him everything. Then Yaakov, in the last statement, says, V'choil asher titen li, everything that you will give to me, aser asrenu lach, I should repeatedly tithe it for you. Sefer Shara Simcha explains that this pasuk could be read now differently. That if you aser asrenu lach, if you tithe for Hashem, then is asher titen li, then Hashem will give to you, then it's be considered mine. In other words, everything that Hashem will give me, it'll only be considered mine once I tithe to Hashem. That once I perform mitzvahs with my money, then that money is considered mine. But until I perform those mitzvahs, then the money is not mine. The money is still considered Hashem. Koil asher titen li, everything you'll give to me will be your only when aser asrenu lach, only when I will tithe for you, then the money is going to be considered mine. Now let's go back to our parsha and see how Sefer Shara Simcha interprets. He interprets like that. In the beginning it's written, Kisavoy al haaretz asher noisen lochem, when you come to the land I'll give you, meaning Eretz Yisrael, uketzartem es ketzira, then you should reap its harvest, but it's not yours yet because you haven't done any mitzvah, is still considered just ketzira, its harvest. But now, veveisem es omer reishis ketzirchem el hakoyen, once you bring the omer of the first cutting, then it becomes ketzirchem, it becomes your cutting. Until now, it's ketzira, it's its cutting, because you have nothing to do with it. But now that you perform a mitzvah with it, now it's considered your cutting, because now it's yours and your mitzvah stays with you. And he explains, now you understand the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah is saying that in the beginning, when you just have the land, then there is no reason for you to toil. That's why the Medrash brings the Pasuk in Keheles and says, Ma Yisroin, what profit you're going to get that you're going to toil under the sun? In other words, if you are toiling only for under the sun, only for getting in this world, then you have no profit in toiling. You're not going to gain anything. But Rabbi Yudin adds that if you are going to labor for above the sun, in other words, you are going to toil for Olam Haba, then you have a great profit. Then it pays for you to toil. If you are going to toil on this world, just for this world, then it doesn't pay for all your toil because you're not going to profit from it. But if you are going to toil for above the sun, the world to come, then it pays for you to toil. In other words, if you are going to make mitzvahs with your toiling, with your ketzirchem, you are going to make mitzvahs, then it pays for you to toil because you are going to have profit. Sefer Pardas Yosef adds that according to this interpretation, we could give a cute translation of Rabbi Yudan's statement. Rabbi Yudan said that you write that Tachas Hashemesh Ein Lo Yisroin, that underneath the sun there is no prophet, but Lemalo Men Hashemesh, but above the sun there is prophet. So Sefer Pardas Yosef says that if you take a look in the Jewish alphabet, that above the letters Shemesh, signifying sun, above the Shin, above the Mem and the Shin, comes out the letters Tov, Nun, Sof. Because after the Shin comes the Tov, after the Mem comes the Nun, and after the other Shin comes another Tov. So comes out that the letters above the sun are the same letters as the word Titain, give. That if you give like Mumvaz did, then you will have a profit. You will make a huge profit because your investment will bear fruits. But if you do not give, then you will not have a profit. When Rav Yud means to say that Lemalo min Hashemesh yesh lo yisoroin, that above the sun he will have a profit, it doesn't mean in the world to come. It means that if you use the letters above the letters signified sun, which are the letters give, then you will have a profit. That if you give charity to Hashem, then you will have a profit, then Hashem will give you reward for everybody else's action. Underneath the sun, if you don't do anything, if your money just keep it underneath the sun, then you won't have any profit. But if you give to others that need money, or give to Hashem with your money, as the Pasuk says here by the Omer, then the Pasuk will become Ketzirchem, will become your cutting, and then you will have a profit from your money. But until then, you won't have a profit from your money. And then Sefer Shara Simcha continues and says that according to the Gemara that we mentioned, that Hashem told us to bring the Omer in the time our grains are on the field, so Hashem will bless our grains, comes out that through the Omer, Hashem will give us a greater blessing on our fields than will come out, that we won't need so much toiling anymore. That if Hashem gives a bracha in our grains, then we don't have to do so much labor. Then why are you wasting your time doing labor? That's why the Medrash Rabbah associates this pasuk with the Omer, because the pasuk means to say, what profit are you going to have if all your labor? Now that Hashem gave you a bracha, that you are going to get a blessing in your field because of the Omer, then why bother doing all this labor? On that, Rav Yudin adds that underneath the sun, you are not going to have any profit, that really you should not work physical labor underneath the sun because Hashem is already giving you the bracha. But above the sun, if you sit down and learn Torah, which is equivalent to above the sun, then you are going to get profit. Then don't waste your time and work Tachas HaShemesh, something that stays underneath the sun. You should take your time that you have now to spare because of the bracha that Hashem sent you because of the Omer, and you should spend learning something that's above the sun, which is Torah. The pasuk continues, Ve'enifes Omer lifnei Hashem, he should wave the Omer in front of Hashem, Dirtzonchem, for an appeasement for you, Mimocharas HaShabbos, on the day after Shabbos, Yenifenu HaKohen, the Kohen should wave it. We know that this Shabbos does not mean Shabbos of the seventh day of the week, means the rest day, which is referring to Pesach. The Gemara tells us that the Sadducees, Tzedokim, they interpreted this pasuk literally, and they believed that the Omer always has to be brought on a Sunday, the day after Shabbat, and according to them, Shavuos always fell on Shabbos, but the rabbis bring with few proofs that this Shabbos means clearly Yontif. The question that Meforshim ask, if that is true, how come Hashem doesn't write down clearly Mimocharas HaPesach or Mimocharas Yontev Rishon Shel Pesach, or the day after the first day of Pesach, or write down clearly the 16th of Nisan, that's when you should do this Omer. There is a famous Bnei Sakhar, which Bnei Sakhar explains, and so do all other Mefarshim, that according to the Medrash on Shir HaShirim chapter 2, Pasuk number 8, where it says, Koil doidi hine zeba, the voice of my beloved, behold, it comes. Medalek aleharim, as leaping over mountains, mekafetz alagvois, skipping over hills. So the Medrash explains that when the Jewish people were about to be redeemed, the Jewish people had no merits, and Hashem said that even though you don't have merits, I have to take you out as quickly as I can. And according to the Arizal, the reason that Hashem took us out is because we were in the 49th level of Tumah, and had we stayed longer, Hashem could not have redeemed us anymore. Sefer Panim Yafes uses this idea that Hashem protects us when we are about to fall and we can't continue, to interpret a pasuk that the Gemara brings down in Brachas Dav Dalet Omet Beis. There the Gemara is discussing about the Ashrei, that Ashrei is special because it follows the Aleph Beis Gimel, the ABCs in Hebrew, meaning that each verse starts with a letter of the Aleph Beis, but it's missing the letter Nun. And the Gemara asks, why it's missing the letter Nun? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, why it's not written a Nun ba'Ashrei? So the Gemara answers, the Nun contains an allusion to the downfall of the Jewish people, because the Pasuk brings down in Amos chapter 5, Pasuk number 2, Naflo loitoisif kum besulos Israel, that she has fallen and she'll no longer rise, the maiden of Israel. So therefore, because David HaMelech did not want to say something bad about the Jews, and the Nun alludes something bad about the Jews, therefore there is no Nun in the Ashrei. But the Gemara continues that the Mamarav Metartu Le'ochei, in Eretz Yisrael they used to translate differently. Naflo v'loitoisiv limpoil oit, that you have fallen but you no longer fall, kum besos Yisrael, arise O maiden of Israel. In other words, they used to divide the Pasuk in two different ways. Instead of falling, you are not going to get up, they used to divide the Pasuk differently. Fall, you will not, get up, O maiden of Israel. But the Panim Yafes says that the Pasuk means to say something deeper. Naflo v'loy toisif, when you have fallen and you can't fall anymore, you have fallen so bad, then Hashem will say, kum besulas Israel, Hashem will get us out and say that we have to get up. In other words, when we reach a level where we can't fall anymore, as the level that we reached in Egypt, then Hashem is going to get us out and Hashem is going to redeem us. And that's how they translate the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Samach Gimel 63, Pasuk number 9, says, Behavasoy uvechemlasoy ugealom, that Hashem, through His love and through His mercy, He redeemed us. In other words, we had no merits at this point to be redeemed. As a matter of fact, normally we have a requirement for tshuva that we are required at least to open up a little bit as the eye of the needle, meaning that we have to start the action and then Hashem opens up for us as the doors of a big hall, that Hashem opens up the gates of tshuva for us, but only after we do something, we open up the minimal amount of repentance. And here the Ger Rebbe says that we are such a level that Hashem had to jump over the door. The Pasuk on Parshas Bo, chapter 12, Pasuk number 23 says, Uposach Hashem ala Pesach, Hashem is going to jump over the door. Normally the translation of the Pasuk there means that you putting the blood spots on the doorways, Hashem will jump over the door, literally the doors of your houses. But the Ger Rebbe translates by saying, means that Hashem is going to jump over the requirement that we open up the door, because we are such a level that we cannot awaken Hashem's redemption, that Hashem has to do it totally on His own. Normally there is something called Israsa del Tata, awakening that we have to do underneath here, that we have to do an action, and Hashem, because of our action, He acts in a big way. But here, because we're in such a low level, Hashem had to do all of it Himself, that He had to do the whole awakening in heaven, and we couldn't help Him here because we were so low. And that technically is the same level as a normal Shabbos, because Shabbos we don't do anything to contribute to the holiness of Shabbos. Shabbos is holy by itself. Hashem does all the work in heaven that Hashem makes and proclaims Shabbos holy, and the holiness of Shabbos comes out to us independent of our actions. So the holiness is here regardless how we behave. And so too here, Hashem on this Pesach, Hashem had to act in the same way that he had to give us the holiness of the day. He had to redeem us even though we didn't deserve it, even though we had no merit to join him. Therefore, the Kedusha of that Pesach, of the first day of Pesach, is tantamount to the Kedusha of Shabbos. And for you not to forget it, Hashem calls it Mimocharas Shabbos, from the day after Shabbos. That Pesach had the level of Shabbos, which we don't have to do anything to contribute to it. Hashem does it totally on his own. Where normal Yontif, we are the one who proclaim the day holy. We are the one who sets the Rosh Chodesh. So we actually bring in the Yontif and Hashem gives us the holiday. But Shabbos, Hashem does the whole work himself. So that Pesach was in the same level as Shabbos. Hashem doesn't want us to forget that that day the holiness came by itself. Therefore, it's written, Mimocharas Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. And Mefarshim explain that that's why the Torah is telling you that you're required to count the Omer, where you go up from lower level to the higher level, the day after Shabbos, because it's supposed to remind us that the reason that we're counting the Omer is because it is a day after Shabbos, because on that Shabbos, which is the day after Yontif, on that Pesach we got the holiness from a heaven. And here we have to let you know that this holiness wasn't a holiness that you worked for, that now you're required to work in these 49 days of the Sfira of the Omer, that you're required to work to achieve that holiness that you lost in that original Pesach, on that Shabbos that it was. According to that, Sefer Shem Rosh brings down from B'nai Sochar a beautiful vart. The B'nai Sochar brings down according to B'nai Sochar, that day, according to the B'nai Sochar, the Kedusha of that day, of that original Pesach, that Kedusha is given out every Pesach again. Every Pesach we could tap into that holiness. And he explains that on chapter 13, Pasuk number 14, where it says, Vayuki sholcho bincho mochor lemer mazois, it will be when your son will ask you tomorrow, what is that? Normally, mochor means now, and mochor means lachar zman, which Rashi means to say that it's asking that next year, that after a while, your children are going to ask, what is that? Then you should tell them, Ki bechoizek yad oitzion Hashem Mitzrayim beis avoyd. Hashem took us out with a strong arm from Mitzrayim, the house of slave. B'nai Sochar explains that the question is a very deep question, that here this child feels this special holiness of Pesach. He feels this great power that Hashem gave us to be connected with him Pesach, and all of a sudden comes the next day, the day after Pesach, Mochor, which means the morrow, the next day, really the next day after Pesach, is going to ask Mazois, what's going on? In other words, how come we don't have any more that spirituality that we had during the first day of Pesach? Because I don't feel the same way. So then you should tell him, Bechoizek yad hoitzion Hashem Mitzrayim beis avodim, that the reason that you had that spirituality is because Hashem forced that holiness into you, that you really didn't deserve on that first day of Pesach, and still every year later, since we tap into that holiness, you don't deserve on that first day, you don't deserve the holiness. Hashem forces you, the holiness in you, he instills in you special holiness. So comes the day after the first day, you don't feel as holy, then you have to know that Ki bechoizek yad, Hashem forced you. He took you out with force, you didn't deserve it. And Hashem pulled you out from Beis Avadim, from the house of slavery. Sefer Shemen Rosh continues that according to this, the God Kol Yehuda explains a very important question. How come here it's written, Kisholcha Bincha, your son is going to ask you, which means that the Torah hopes that your son will ask you this question. And obviously the Torah doesn't want to give you bad children. Obviously, this question is asked by a good son, by a smart son, because the Torah bothers to write down the answer. And yet,
it comes to the Haggadah, there when we're describing the four children, we have under Tam Mahu Oimer, the simple son, what does it say? Is this question, Mazois, what is this? Vomarto Elov, and should tell him, Bechoizek Yad, Oitzion Hashem Mitzrayim Beis Avodim, that if a strong arm, Hashem took us out from Egypt, from the house of slaves. Then the question is, how come in the Haggadah that son is described as a Tam, as a simple son? It seems to be like he's a fool, like he's a simple son. Why, when the Torah describes him, is named as a son, which seems to be a smart person, and here in the Seder, he's called Tam. The Haggadah Kol Yehuda answers that this is the reason. Here in the Torah tells you, "Vayuki sholcha bincha machor," when your son will ask you machor the next day. If your son is asking you the next day, that means the second day Yontif, then he's a smart son, because now he could distinguish the difference between the day before where he had this special holiness, and now that you don't have any holiness, because you are the day after Pesach. That's what it says. Only if your son asks you machor, the next day. But if your son is asking you on the day of Pesach, on the very day of Pesach, and he cannot feel the holiness, and he is asking you, Mazois, what's going on? What is this holiness? He cannot feel what's going on, then he is a simple son. Any son that on Pesach itself cannot feel the holiness is a simple son. If the next day the son is asking you, Mazois, what's going on, what happened, then you're right. Then he's kind of a smart son, because he could distinguish between Pesach and the day after Pesach. He could feel that on Pesach he had this huge holiness, and the day after Pesach he doesn't have anything. But if in Pesach itself, the night of the Seder, he's asking you, Mazois, a child that's asking you, Mazois, the night of the Seder, is a simple son. Normally, the Omer is brought down from barley. The Mefarshim asks a question, how come it is barley and not wheat? So the simple answer they give is that since on Pesach the barley is what's getting ripe, therefore the Torah tells you to bring from barley, because that is practically what is being ripened in the field. The wheat is only going to be ripe 2 months later. But other Mefarshim explain that the reason Hashem told you to bring an omer from barley is for you to remember that you aren't on the level yet of man. Since barley is considered animal food, not like nowadays that everybody eats barley and everybody eats salad, where normally this would be considered animal food. In the Gemara's time, in Torah times, barley is considered machal behema, food for animals. Therefore, the Torah wanted you to remember that you haven't yet attained the level of human beings, that you still are in the level of animals, that you are not spiritual, you are totally animalistic still, because that's how we start the Omer, that you only attained those holiness before because I gave it to you, but now that I take away that holiness, you are in the level of animals, therefore you bring the Omer. I wanted to answer why we bring the Omer from barley, and why we called the Omer, Omer. Why don't we call just a korban like any other thing? Why do we call the korban by the name of a measurement, Omer? With answering with that perplexing medrashim. There are three separate medrashim which by itself don't make sense, but if we put them all together and we bring the idea of Omer, we'll understand all three medrashim. The first two medrashim are in this week's parsha, and they are on Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Chof Ches Vav. There the Medrash says, Lo'olam al mitzvah Omer kal benecha, let not the mitzvah of Omer be easy in your eyes. Shehode mitzvah as Omer, because of the Omer, Zocho Avraham lirash eseretz Knan, that Avraham Avinu inherited the land of Knan, because it's written the Pasuk on Bereshis Yud Zayin, right after Avraham Avinu does his circumcision, Venusati lechol zaracha charecho, I'll give this land into your children after you, al menaz v'ato es brisi tishmoir, on the condition that you keep the covenant. V'ezeze, and what covenant are we talking about? The Medrash says, mitzvah sa'oimer, That's the mitzvah of Omer.
Right away, the question is, where is the reference for Omer? The pasuk is only talking about you maintaining the bris, the covenant of the circumcision. Where is it referring to Omer at all? The next medrash continues.
Rish Lakish says, Al tei mitzvahs Omer kal b'necho. Let not the mitzvah of Omer be easy in your eye. Shal yedei mitzvahs Omer, because of the mitzvah of Omer, Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalom bein ish leishtoi. Hashem made peace between man and his wife. Meaning, have Omer bizchus kemach zoirim, because of the flower of barley, Hashem made peace between husband and wife.
Again, we don't understand the connection to Omer. Then we have a Yalkut Shimoni on Parshas Bamidbar, Simen Tov Reish Pei Dalet. The Medrash says, B'shosh shekiblu Yisrael satoira, when the Jewish people received the Torah, Niskan umoyso oilam bohem, the nations of the world got jealous, and they said, Ma rou leiskarev yoisem in oimois, why do the Jews have more than the other nations? Sosom apim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem closed their mouth, Omar lohem, he said, Eviu lisefer yuchsim shalochem, bring me the book of genealogy, in the same way that the Jewish people brought their book of genealogy. Since they couldn't bring their book of genealogy, we merited to get the Torah. So I wanted to answer all these questions based on what we know, that there were four things that we did that caused us to be redeemed from Egypt. And one of them was that we did not commit immorality. There was no immoral people amongst us, that we maintained our covenant of Abraham pure. So according to this comes out that we had our family purity intact. We know that when a sota, when a woman is suspected of adultery, she has to go and bring a sacrifice made of barley. So Rashi explains on Nosoi, chapter 5, pasuk number 15, why does she have to bring kemach seorim, why does she have to bring flour of barley? Because she did animal actions, animalistic actions, so therefore she should bring a sacrifice made of food of animal. As we mentioned, barley normally is fed to animals, so she didn't act properly, she acted like an animal, therefore let her sacrifice be like an animal. So that is exactly after Hashem redeemed us and Hashem is getting ready to give us the Torah, Hashem wants already to set up that we are pure. Therefore Hashem tells us that we have to bring the sacrifice of a sota, because Hashem is going to test us like Hashem tests the sota. The same way that Hashem tests the sota through the barley, through flour of barley, and that's what the second medrash means, that let not the Omer be light in your eyes, because the barley of the Omer is the same way that Hashem tests a woman when she's a sota, to check out if she committed adultery. The same way we are going to be checked by bringing the Omer right after Pesach to make sure that we have family purity. And that's what the connection is with Avraham Avinu and the Bris, because the only way you are able to maintain family purity is if you kept the covenant, the Bris, holy. We did not commit immorality, adultery, or other illicit relations. Then we are able to maintain the Os Bris, the circumcision, holy. And that's why afterwards we receive the Torah, because we could bring the Sefer Yuchsin, we could bring the book of genealogy, because Hashem tested us and we are found to be pure. That is the reason we receive the Torah. So since Hashem is getting ready to give us the Torah, before He gives us the Torah, He has got to prove for all the nations of the world that we are pure. And the way He does it is by giving us the Omer. According to this, I wanted to say that that is why it's called Omer. We know that always from Nega we make Oneg. We change the letters around and we make from a plague, we make pleasure after we get healed. So I want to say that the pasuk in Yechezkel brings down, and we say it in the Gada, that we were Va'at Erem Ve'eria, that you were naked and bare, and you didn't have any mitzvahs. So the word Eroim, naked, is the same letters as Omer. That Hashem, after Pesach, He decided to give us the mitzvah of Omer in order
for us to change from Eroim, from naked without mitzvah, to Omer. Now we're making a mitzvah out of the Eroim, and we switch it from Eroim, from naked, to Omer. And also, the Omer ascertains that we weren't totally naked from mitzvahs, that we actually kept family purity and we did not transgress any sins of immorality. I wanted to finish that if you take a look, the numerical value of Omer is 310. Ayin is 70, the Mem is 40, so 70 and 40 is 110, and the Resh is 200. That makes it 310. And I wanted to say that if we maintain all the mitzvahs of Omer and we count the Omer completely and we achieve the level of Matan Torah, then what is the last Mishnah on Uksin where it says, Omer Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Rabbi Shur ben Levi says, Osid HaKudosh Baruch Hu La'anchi L'chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Hashem will inherit to every righteous person in the future, Shloish Meyois V'Asoro Ilomois, 310 worlds, Shenemar, because the pasuk brings down in Mishlei Proverbs, La'anchil oy havai yesh, that to inherit to my beloved yesh, there is, and the numerical value of the word yesh, there is 310. So if we keep the mitzvah of Omer, that even though we started from the level of animals, but we keep going up each day to a different level until we achieve the level of holiness that we are able to get the Torah, then we'll merit to have the 310 worlds, and that will be as soon as Moshiach come, and the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, b'imheira b'yomeinu, amen.